So starting with James chapter 1, verse 1. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. My brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into divers temptations. Joy. James tells them to face suffering with an attitude of joy. Now, let's look at our own lives. That's a lot to ask, isn't it? I mean, it's very easy to react in anger or sorrow, but joy. And as we study God's word, we see that James is very much spot on with this. As we go to Matthew chapter 5, verses 10 and 12, we read, "Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you." See, rejoicing is actually a command. It's not a suggestion. But it's followed up by a wonderful promise of reward. Rewards in heaven. Verse 5:12 states, "Great is your reward in heaven." And I must say that just the feeling alone of being joyful rather than miserable is a blessing all by itself, isn't it? I mean, wouldn't everybody rather be happy than sad or angry? And, you know, as we look to 1 Peter as well, it says, 1 Peter 13 and 14 reads, "But rejoice in as much as ye are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with the exceeding joy. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the spirit of glory and God resteth upon you. On their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified." The Holy Spirit plays a tremendous role here. And most likely nearly impossible for any of us to do what is asked without his comforting embrace. To remain focused on the glory of God and know that you are glorifying him should easily bring joy. Even when being attacked. But we absolutely need that great comforter, the Holy Spirit, for that ability. It's too easy to have that nerve jerk reaction to lash back out, to become angry and bitter. And when it seems a little bit too much, a little bit too out of the reach for you, you have to go to the Lord and ask for this ability. And make sure that it's for the right reasons, for his glory and not your own, and that his will be done. Now, as we look at James chapter 1, verse 2, we will also note that the scripture says when, not if. These trials we are put through as Christians is a certainty. As a church and body of Christ, we have been through a lot together, haven't we? The last few years have been tough. There are others outside of our church that I've talked to that perceive that we are suffering greatly without a pastor. And I don't see it that way. we come together, we glorify God, we hear his word, we are growing, we are not suffering. We are glorifying God. And although some of the things that have been said have been a little negative, I know I did keep my composure when listening, because I was very offended for our Lord. But I admit that keeping joy in my heart at the same time hearing it didn't really happen. It's difficult. I kept my composure. I defended our Lord. I defended our church. It's quite frankly, this town, the country, the world is a far better place with Sand Lake Baptist running strong for our Lord. Now, as we continue on with verse 3 and 4 of James, verse 3, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience, but let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Now, the word patience refers not only for the ability to wait, but also to endure and persevere under some overwhelming circumstances. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. So what do we know? Trials are inevitable. We are to joyfully endure them through our strong faith with help from the Holy Spirit. And then in verse 4, this speaks of great blessings, wanting nothing. Verse 4 also speaks about spiritual growth. Reading again, but let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. And let's face it, trial will either make us bitter or better. The game changer is patience. Let patience have her perfect work. Steadfastness in our faith with a joyful heart in time will produce spiritual maturity. And that will affect every area of our lives. Now, this should hit home for us at least a little bit. I mean, tough times in the past few years, patience, strength, and blessings from the Holy Spirit. Growth in spiritual maturity, individually and collectively. Amen for all of it, because we've had it, we've experienced it. And in my eyes, 2023 has been a year filled with love and joy in our church. A lot of hard work, but that has also helped us to be blessed with unity. Our Lord has been very good to us. And with that, let's look into God's wisdom in verse 5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Now, there are times when we simply can't see anything but bad when we're going through those tough times. And it's often because we lack the wisdom to see it. Just like we may lack the ability to be joyful. And how can we receive both and so much more? We need to go to the Father for prayer and ask. Open your heart. Talk to him privately. Tell him how you feel, what you personally are lacking, what you need, and ask for his loving help. He will give wisdom to all liberally. Sometimes wisdom is simply to trust God's plan, even if you can't comprehend it. Wisdom may be brought about through others, but not recognized because you didn't go to the Lord and seek it. Seek his help through prayer. As we continue into verse 6, through 8. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. Double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. The subject here is trust. To always trust God, regardless of what it is or what is happening around you. We are not to waver. We cannot always see why, but we have an intimate relationship with the one who can see all. God is in control. We know it, and we must trust him. We will never know stability or security in suffering without unwavering faith in the unfailing God. Verse 7 tells us that not only must we pray, but we must pray in faith. If not, then we will receive nothing. The double-mindedness in verse 8 is one of the heart. You either have faith or you have doubt. If there's an internal struggle, there will always be instability in all areas of your life. You must remain strong and go to the Lord. Now, the next few verses cover God's perspective in trials. So let's continue reading. Verse 9, let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted, but the rich in that he is made low, because of the flower of the grass he shall pass away. For the sun is no longer risen with a burning heat, but it withereth the grass, and the flower thereof fallen. And the grace of the fashion of it perisheth, so also shall the rich man fade away in his ways. So while going through trials and temptations, we are to focus our eyes onto an eternal view. This is where God is sharing his wisdom with us right now. We can't often comprehend things from where we are. But what we may by looking at our situation from an eternal perspective. The scripture shows us that God has everyone who believes covered. The brother of low degree may rejoice because he's included in God's eternal plan. The wealthy believer, who has learned humility and dependence, vital to God's grace, can rejoice in having been made low in humbleness. God has everyone covered. We must take our eyes off the things of this world that we can never keep. Our true gain is in heavenly blessings through spiritual growth, and that's something we can never lose. Everything that we own right now, we're renting. It's temporary. We truly do not own anything on earth. We're born with nothing. We die with nothing. What have we truly lost or gained? Nothing. So forfeit anything that we think we actually own and possess in heaven for literally anything big or small on earth. That's pretty silly. Why forfeit something that we will own for all eternity for anything? Even if you're the richest person in the world. It's not worth it. So there's a little peek at God's wisdom. The next few verses talks about the rewards. So let's pick up on verse 12 through 15. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Let no man say when he is tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil. Neither tempteth he any man, but every man is tempted when he is drawn away from his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. So there are five crowns in Scripture. Here in the book of James is the crown of life. This crown is reserved for all who love Christ enough to say no. No to temptation. Those who are faithful until death, and those who die as martyrs for Christ. The challenge is to have the patience to endure the temptation from our own sinful desires that draw us away from God. We must remember that this is where temptation comes from. We must never blame or associate God to those temptations. God cannot be tempted, nor will he tempt with evil. It is not his nature. There will, however, be trials, of which there are two types. Some are tests from God to bring out our best. They are well within our ability, for God will not give us more than that. They are part of his plan to mold us like a potter in its clay. The other is the worst. This one consists of temptations from ourselves and Satan to bring out the worst in us and ultimate destruction. That's the penalty. Separation from our Lord and all the suffering that goes with it. That's the tough one. Although you try to remain strong, fighting your own urges, you have to deal with this enemy encouraging us to sin. But here's the good news. You have our Savior. You have God to help us through it. You have that Holy Spirit to give you the strength to endure. In verse 16, do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. One of Satan's biggest lies is that God is to be blamed for the evil in our lives. The truth is that God is the source of everything good in our lives. Our suffering comes from sin, Satan, and self. God loves us and thankfully never changes. So he is the one that you need to go to for help. He's not the cause. He is the answer. And you must remember that he loves us every bit as much in our darkest hour as he does in our finest hour. His love is immeasurable and unchangeable. When we struggle, we absolutely need to draw ourselves nearer to God. Pray to him for the strength and wisdom to see you through with great joy. Ask him to remove the sin and evil around you so that you can endure. God loves you so much in your suffering and sin that he gave you his only begotten Son. His only Son to die on the cross. How much more love could you ask for? He gives it. He died on the cross for you personally. So let's finish the remainder of this chapter. It's a bit of reading, but we can get through it. With verse 18, of his own will begot he us with the word of truth, that we should be kind, a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not for the righteousness of God, Wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive the meekness of engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving for own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding of his natural face in glass, for he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetter or a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, the man shall be blessed in his deed. If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this: to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Salvation gives us a new nature. Now, James gives us the message of the guidance towards spiritual maturity. The new nature gives us the ability, and the key word is ability, to conquer our temptations and to reject anger and bitterness. We are to be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. We are to remain pure and separated from moral filth, the wickedness of the world, and never make excuses for our own sin. Must own up to it and seek the Lord for forgiveness. Now, in this scripture, the Lord is providing the guidance we need towards Christian maturity. Continuing on, we are told that we are not just to obey the word of God, but also to be studious and humbly continue to learn, to allow God's word to change our minds, our will, our behaviors, and actions, to be doers and not just hearers of the word. Allow your lives to be changed by the Holy Spirit. Examine ourselves based on God's word. If done correctly, we will find all the things that are wrong with ourselves and in our lives. And then you seek the Lord through prayer and allow the Holy Spirit's loving hand to guide you in those corrections. The new nature upon salvation doesn't mean an instant transformation on all these things, but the ability to achieve them all. You now have a wonderful partnership with the Holy Spirit and the guidance of God's word to grow in spiritual maturity. You are not alone and never will be. Continuing always to move forward in obedience with patience and steadfastness. In verse 25, we see that doing this will give us blessings poured out in our lives. The last few points in this chapter include controlling our tongue. What comes out of the mouth indicates what's in your heart, such as being compassionate to those in need, reaching out to those who are suffering with love and kindness, not just outwardly, but inwardly. God can see directly into your heart. And going through the motions can deceive others. And you can even deceive yourself, but you can never deceive God. He simply knows. Now, before concluding with today's message, I would like to go back to the crowns that I mentioned earlier. The rewards in heaven. I mentioned there are five, yet the book of James only talks about one. Other crowns, other messages, certainly. But I made sure that in your bulletin that you will find the other four. And you can go to that scripture and read about them. There's the incorruptible crown for self-control over the old nature found in 1 Corinthians. The crown of rejoicing for soul winners found in 1 Thessalonians. The crown of righteousness for those who love and serve in light of the rapture found in 2 Timothy. The crown of glory for faithful pastors, as well as those who are faithful supporters of their pastor, found in Matthew 10. And the crown of life was covered in this message, and it comes from James chapter 1. These crowns, what are they for? These crowns will give us a greater ability to glorify Christ for all eternity. And you can read about that in the book of Daniel, chapter 12, and in Revelations, chapter 4. And that's all in, it's all included in there. And I would encourage you to include that in your own private study. And who knows, maybe I can get into a little bit more detail sometime in the future. So that's James chapter 1. And I can't wait to deliver James chapter 2 to you next week, because that's going to be absolutely wonderful as well. It's all about love. And a rather challenging love to some degree.